Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the April issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Replacement Heifers versus Finishing Heifers, Feeding Replacement Heifers in Confinement. To have a conversation about the content, I'm joined today by the author, Dr. Carla Wilkie, who's a Nebraska Extension Cow-Calf Systems and Stocker Management Specialist. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Wilkie, as we record the podcast here at the 1st of April, we're looking at a scenario where we've seen a lot of pasture lost here over the last month due to wildfire. And then that pasture that hasn't burned, we've just seen extreme drought across much of the state. While we're hoping for some moisture here in April and May that could turn this around, I think many folks are also recognizing they need to come up with a plan to find ways to reduce stocking rate on pasture, or if they've lost pasture due to wildfire, how are they going to breed these heifers that maybe they normally would be turning out and putting with a bull, now looking at the option of breeding those in confinement. Feeding those heifers, maybe in terms of what would happen, is a little different if we're breeding them versus finishing them. That's the focus of your article. Give us some things we need to pay attention to make sure we're doing the right thing in developing these heifers.
Yes, I think there's some things to be discussed here. And, you know, on the one hand, I don't want ranchers to read this and think that I don't think they know how to develop heifers, because our sand hills are full of very nice mama cows that were well developed as heifers. But in light of all the grass fires, because Nebraska is such a tremendous state where people work so hard to help each other, we have a lot of people in farming areas or that have feedlots or feedlot pens that are more than willing to help out those people that lost some grass. And so this type of thing, developing heifers, not what they normally do. And so what I run into sometimes when I'm talking to people about replacement diets is that they may assume that that heifer needs a higher energy dense ration than she actually does, or they don't realize how much energy is in the feeds that they have to offer. And so they don't realize that they could be overfeeding the heifer. I think we've all seen the heifer that didn't get enough protein and energy. So there's two ends of that spectrum, obviously. And so what I really wanted to kind of bring to light in the article was that if you are taking in heifers into a confined situation to feed them because they got displaced by fire, that we really probably, from weaning to breeding, we're only targeting about a pound and a quarter or so a day. And so let's say they got displaced by fire in March, and they're not going to breed them till June. So for 3 months in here, those heifers are going to be in confinement on a mixed ration because they're out of grass. And so when we have growing heifers that we did not select for replacement, and we're putting them on a little bit of an aggressive grow ration because then we're going to get them up to a weight where we put them on a finishing diet, that particular heifer might be on a growing diet that's 2.5-3 pounds a day gain versus 1.25 or 1.5. And so just making sure that in light of everything everybody's having to deal with and everything they're having to think through, that this is probably a really important concept to think through, because what we don't want happen is to have heifers on a really energy dense diet during this growing phase, and then for that to drop off to less than that gain when we go to breed them with the bulls, and be signaling to her body that nutrition's falling off, maybe not a good time to cycle. We want it the opposite, right?
As we think about a feed yard, obviously mixing a separate ration for a few pens of heifers, that's a little challenging. Obviously, they got to put something else together. Is there the option to maybe do some limit feeding where, yes, we've got this more energy dense diet, but we're just not going to feed as much of it to meet that heifer's needs?
Yes, and that's something else that we can do. The other thing that a lot of feedlots can do is they have the lower step up rations as they move up the finishing diet. And so, you know, just choosing one of those, but making sure, visiting with the nutritionist, that maybe we limit feed a little bit, maybe we use one of those that are more of a receiving diet, whatever, but we kind of target that, you know, 1.25 to 1.5 pounds a day gain. The other thing I've seen happen in a feedlot when heifers are taken in is we can have some disconnect between the nutritionist, the manager, and somebody running the feed mill or running the feed trucks and stuff. And so many feedlots will have a ration that's called, you know, the heifer rations. And you just go through these steps for the heifers. But those may contain MGA to keep them from cycling. And I've known of situations where somebody then brought their bulls there. And because there's a disconnect on why we're feeding the MGA or why this is called the heifer ration from a feedlot perspective, because we don't normally breed in a feedlot, right? Or we hope we're not doing that in a feedlot, that didn't get pulled. And so those heifers weren't cycling. And so, you know, you can have a wreck with it. And I think those are rare. But my point in this was bringing out what we're doing and why and what we want for this. And then I feel like there can be some farmers on the eastern side of the state that may have a lot, you know, may have silages, may have some corn, may have some old pens where they used to do kind of a farmer feeder thing and they don't. And, you know, they're like, oh, I can help you do this. And they certainly can, but it's not the same goal as what they were doing when they were growing calves to go to a feedlot. So it's not the same diet. And so just my goal was just kind of to bring awareness to simulating the grazing situation for the replacement heifer in confinement.
Dr. Wilkie, anything else you want to highlight on this today?
I think that's the main thing. I think we can do this, but you know, just the things that we have to be thinking through when we do this a little differently than we normally do.
Well, for more information on the topic we did talk about in today's Beef Wash podcast, there are a number of articles, including this one at beef.unl.edu. talking about the importance of understanding nutrition on replacement heifers right prior to and through the breeding season.